If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of A Millennial Money. I am here with Graham and Andre.
What's up?
And there's Jeremy. Today, we're going to talk about the next market crash, because what else would we talk about when the stock market is red, real estate's bubbly and overvalued, and geez, it's got to come down, doesn't it? What are you guys all thinking?
First of all, it's freezing in here. I don't know how you keep it this cold.
I'm sweating, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm about to turn it down even more.
It is freezing in here, legit, guys. It is.
You know, I had it at 69. Now I'm at 66.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's 66.
It's a fridge in here, man.
Yeah, it is.
Also, it's a lot smaller than you see it. Like, it's than you imagine it. Way smaller.
No, no. Yeah. It's bigger than it. It's bigger in person.
All right. How do we kick this off, Jeremy?
Wow. I don't know.
Jeremy, what? Take us away with the market crash.
Oh my gosh, I can't talk about the market crash. It's just a TTCF crash. Everything else is going up, man. I don't want to talk this week, okay? No, but Kevin, first off, I've got to know, when the election results actually start coming out? Like, when are we going to see it on CNN or wherever?
An hour and 6 minutes away. We've got KCAL News, CBS here. We got Spectrum here. CBS is coming. I got like Politico calling us for a Zoom. I was just in San Diego. Like, it's crazy. There are cameras running around here. It's fun. They were just filming in here in the studio, and so that delayed Millennial Money, but it's so fun.
Whoa, this is awesome, man. I'm rooting for you. Like, how are you feeling? Like, are you nervous, Kevin? Like, what? Explain to us the emotions of today.
We are so excited, and personally, I'm really excited too. Like, not nervous at all. Really excited. No matter what happens, win, lose, we're so happy for the change that we're pushing for, because it's like we need our generation in politics. The transparency that we bring to YouTube is what we got to have in politics, man, just so we can get some real good change going. So we're excited. You know, a lot of it, in my opinion, is going to come out to how many of us actually came out to vote. We are the biggest voting base in America, but we have the lowest turnout because we don't think elections matter. They matter. They matter a lot.
So we'll you're see. Saying, Kevin, it's not too late to go and vote right now.
Yeah, this is true. Y'all have about an hour and 5 minutes before the polls close. And all you have to do is be in line by 8 o'clock. So, you know, as long as you're there by like 7:59, they'll let you vote.
Now, as far as the results go, do they kind of trickle in, or is it just one number immediately at 8 o'clock? It's like, bam,
trickle. Just like the national ones, you know, the polls are closed, depending on how many people are in the lines. And you got, you know, hundreds of these polling stations and nobody's in line. Hit send on the polls. Boom, it shows up.
Man, we should have started this at 8. More.
We're exciting.
Ooh, that would have been exciting. Man, this is cool. So, man, like, Kevin, this is crazy, man. I can't believe, like, this is actually happening now. It's so much talk and debate about this. And now, so I was reading earlier, what is it? Half the people that have turned in ballots so far, I believe, were Democrats. Now, does this bode well or bad for you, in your opinion?
Well, I would say the best case scenario for the recall happening is actually less Democrats turnout. And lately, a lot of Democrats have been very, very fearful of both Larry Elder and COVID. And I'm not trying to get political about it, just what's happened. And so they've been motivated to send in more ballots. I think we had 8.9 million ballots mailed in and received as of this morning. And as of this morning, because the polls have been open for a little over a week in some places, 3 or 4 days here in Ventura County, we have had 8.9 million mail-in ballots received, about 323,000 in-person votes. So most Republicans vote in person the day of the election. So today's going to be like the Republican turnout day. If they don't turn out, you know, then there's your problem. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, lots of mail-in ballots out here.
Mm. So it looks so funny.
Already voted already.
Well, so of the electorate of the 19%, we're at about like 42% as of this morning. Mm. We'll probably be at close to 60% by the time it's over.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know your odds at all? Do you know any statistical figures as far as what the chances are?
They're all over the place in terms of, I mean, I have no idea. Okay. They're all over the place. just like, it's like, which one do you pick? I have no idea.
I feel like I'm more nervous than Kevin is right now.
More coffee. This is Bankroll Coffee, by the way.
Yes.
Graham, I think you pressed the on button on that coffee, mate.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was. I'm drinking it. It's in the back here. I don't know where I put it. But
oh, I got you. It's right behind the star. Look at that.
Yes. I still haven't tried it yet.
Thank you so much.
Oh, here. COVID.
Yeah, hey! Let's pass it around.
but thanks for asking, Jerry. Yeah, man. So what's going on with Tattooed Chef? And let's talk about the market and crypto a little bit.
I don't know, man. I mean, Tattooed Chef is doing what it usually does, 16 to 24, 24 back down to 16. So right now it's on its way back to 16 and it'll pop back. Okay. So, but no, I'm more concerned about what I've been talking about on the channel recently is China, man. Alibaba, the drama there. I don't know if you guys saw, but Alibaba all of a sudden is donating a third of their cash to Chinese causes, which was very, very quick.
Wow.
Yeah, it just, you know, a third of their cash, like, sounds like a shakedown to me. And then Wynn in Las Vegas Sands and the casino stocks got hit today because now there's talk about potentially changing a bunch of things when it comes to casino operators, how concessions are done. China wants to have more oversight in the gambling industry. And it just seems like kind of a nightmare for anything China related. It doesn't like China stocks, really drama. Anything that does a lot of business in China in general, a lot of drama right now. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, so what happened to Wynn today? I saw it was down like 12%. I think it dropped to like $89. I bought a little bit more on that dip. But can you explain the impact?
Yeah, so one is China wants to get more involved in overseeing the operations of the casino companies. So what does that mean? You know, no one really knows. It's a little scary, right? And also, they're talking about they want more Macau-owned casinos or Chinese-owned casinos. And so that's a little scary because it's like, are they going to take away potentially the concessions for Wynn? Because basically how it works is Wynn got a 20-year concession, which is essentially where they're allowed to have the gambling license. They got that back in 2002. That runs out in 2022. So if Macau decides to not, you know, go ahead and renew for Wynn, they can't have gambling properties in Macau, which would be absolutely ridiculous, right? So that's the fear. You know, maybe it's a rational fear, but, you know, when you see a lot of the stuff coming out about China, I mean, you know, and the kind of the moves they're making, it's a little scary. So
did you guys see the AOC thing on Twitter?
Tax the rich.
Yes.
That was awesome.
She is a brilliant marketer.
She really is.
Oh my gosh.
She got everyone talking about her today.
Brilliant.
Right.
You go to the richest place and wear that. Brilliant. I mean, just hats off to that marketing.
Well, yeah, and she, I looked at her Instagram. Her post got like 2 million likes, which is like a crazy amount. But then I was looking at the comments, and she was just getting ripped in the comments section. As soon as you get through the verified comments and get to like normal people, everybody just like $30,000 for a ticket. You are the rich, you know, this and that.
You know, I went through her finances. Did you guys see that video?
I did.
You saw that was a great video. Well, she drives a Tesla, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Drives a Tesla, has a nice apartment in New York City, disclosed in 2018 when she ran, basically no stocks, no retirement, like under $5,000, like about, I think, $15,000 to $45,000 of student debt. And in her last disclosure for this 2022 cycle, I'm sorry, for 2020, so 2 years into her term, while she's getting paid, you know, $175,000 a year or whatever, no changes at all, like no stock holdings to disclose, no changes in retirement account, no changes in investment, no changes in student debt, still has student debt, but has Tesla and the nice car, always has nice clothing and stuff. Now, some people are like, oh, but she's trying to be normal. Like she doesn't want to be the person that gets into power and buys stocks. And I'm looking at it like, she is being the epitome of an example to younger generations that financial education doesn't matter. She's exemplifying that financial education doesn't matter. You get a higher salary, you spend it on nicer clothes, you spend it on fancy dress, you spend it on a fancy apartment and a Tesla. It's stupid. That's why I tweeted the other day, don't buy a Tesla, buy Tesla, T-S-L-A, right? So these are the things that just drive me nuts.
It's a great point.
Yeah. Now, what was her total income disclosed? Can't she be getting paid for speaking engagements and stuff and then not reporting that? Or is everything for her reported?
Let's see here. She has to disclose. She has to disclose income sources. So super important that she does. The same thing. We had to do the same financial disclosures, like everything, properties you own, everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, but did you see the Nancy Pelosi disclosure? She's made over $7 million, but that wasn't off of her income. That was from the speaking fees.
Yes.
So could AOC technically have other sources as well that are not disclosed?
Not maybe that I'm aware of, because there's a section. I mean, I'm sure you could play games. Yeah. I bet you could play games.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Their version of speaking fees is like the YouTube version of selling a course. But she made, but she made all of her money speaking, not actually doing it. She made more money speaking than actually
being a politician.
Yeah, I know.
Just follow everything Nancy Pelosi's doing.
Basically. Or Janet Yellen. She made it.
Well, so you guys are rearranging. Right. Yeah, because this was kind of funny, man. I was trying not to laugh, but you guys three smushed together like that was kind of hilarious.
Dude, the studio is tiny.
Even with us, by the way, we're sharing this.
Yeah. Oh, this is quite funny. Yeah, and with Kevin, you know, I thought you guys were going to have some professional setup going here with multiple cameras from multiple angles. So, yeah, we should maybe try out your podcast studio sometime, Graham, and see how that does for an episode.
Oh,
that'd be cool.
I would love to do that. And yeah, we can have Alex do the cameras. Right now we got this here. If we look this, we could
nice.
Oh, so you switched it.
Yeah, I switched it so we could do that.
Magic.
I don't know, maybe this is better.
Yeah, this seems a little bit more natural.
Right, there you go. The problem.
So we're selling courses.
Yeah.
What are we selling? So Kevin, stopthebullshit.com. We're just plugging everything of Kevin's today.
Turn off those monitors in the back. No, just kidding.
Dude, he has like a 6-inch door right there that soundproofs everything.
Oh, it's probably bigger than that. It's probably 8 inches. No, seriously. It is like
I heard it's big. About four. But
it's hung.
No,
this is too far.
Oh man, good thing we got no sponsors for this video.
Have you been buying Bitcoin, Jeremy?
Bitcoin? What are you talking about, Bitcoin? What is that? You're talking about that Chuck E. Cheese tokens again? Bitcoin. Come on, man. No, so wow. I did see Kathy Wood. I don't know if you guys read the Hungry Bowl today, but Kathy Wood is very, very bullish on NFTs. She says NFTs are the new internet.
Okay, so explain to me in your words what Kathy Wood is talking about NFTs, because I tried explaining NFTs to you guys and you're like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I think what she was trying to say is she's just insanely excited about it and she feels like it's misinterpreted. She, you know, obviously everybody right now is just talking about like, oh, some NFT sold for $1 million of a stick figure or whatever, like a word. And what she's trying to say is like, you know, NFTs are going to be a lot bigger and more than just what they are. Now, personally, I'm not a good person to explain that because it's not like I'm some super bullish NFT person. But she's talking about it in regards of like the internet age when it was first coming around. People are like, I don't get it. Like, what is this? This is stupid. And, you know, I don't know. Kathy does obviously make a lot of big statements and maybe this is misguided.
But I'm curious though, what's her bullish thesis on NFTs? What does she think NFTs will do for, I guess, the internet? What is she scheme as?
I would have to get into that article there. But, you know, she was basically just saying that the NFT craze, she says, you know, that basically it's a shiny object right now that people are talking about. But she says, quote, this is how I felt when the internet first came about. When talking about NFTs. So, I mean, she doesn't get that into detail. That's the thing. It just sounds like she doesn't want to write it off. I guess that's the best way to kind of come. It doesn't sound like she's saying basically don't write it off. Don't give up on it. Don't just think this is some scam thing that's just going to be here today or, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. She also said, she reiterated that she sees Bitcoin reaching $500,000 over the next 5 years and says her confidence in Ethereum has gone up dramatically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm scared about, though, is the thing about the infrastructure bill. So I think September 27th is when they're supposed to vote on it. And I don't know if that's going to get done. But one of the issues that they have is trying to classify. This is so weird. I could hear everything I'm saying. And it's like throwing me off.
We have a reverb in here, so it's difficult to speak.
I would take that ear pod out when you're speaking if I were you guys.
Take it out.
Yeah.
Could you still hear me?
Yep.
Sweet. So one of the things that I'm concerned with crypto is regulation within the infrastructure bill as far as what classifies as a broker. And they haven't really come to a 100% bulletproof agreement. So right now they're trying to classify brokers as anybody who basically transacts with crypto. And that kind of entails everybody from miners to the nodes to, you know, the DeFi exchanges, so the decentralized finance exchanges, all of those entities, they could be classified as brokers, which means technically they would be liable to pay taxes on every microtransaction, which would not only be nearly impossible, but would sort of kill innovation because you can't just tax those microtransactions. And so what's interesting is that the state of affairs right now in this country is that we're trying to pass rules and laws under the guise of, you know, an infrastructure bill. So it's like we're holding each other kind of hostage and they're passing these little sneaky little regulations inside of these infrastructure bills. So I don't know.
That was done on purpose, or do you think this is them just not knowing what they're doing?
They just wrote it in. 100%. They just have no idea what they're doing. And it sucks because if they do pass something like this, it could completely destroy innovation in the US. And I hope it doesn't happen, but September 27th is we'll know at least a little bit closer what they decide to do with that. But they're going back and forth.
Wow. Yeah. So September 27th, this is going to be something that's voted on in around the microtransactions. So if you could just go into maybe a little detail here, Andre, like what is best case scenario? I'm guessing that the bill doesn't pass. And kind of what's worst case scenario with this? And kind of what do you think is most likely to kind of play out over the next year when it comes to any regulations or things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, anything goes. I have no idea what's going to happen. They're still trying to understand it. Obviously, they don't like crypto, so it's in their best interest to try to regulate this out of existence. But I also feel like there are people within the government that are trying to understand it and that do understand that innovation is really important and they can't just kill this off because that would not be good for us.
Yeah.
So
now, they did say, though, that they were not going to be pursuing. I'll take this off now. They did say that they weren't going to be pursuing some of these cases. They were working with the Federal Reserve not to enforce everything literally to the T. Like if you create an NFT, you sell it for $700. They're not going to track you down. It's not worth their time. So their intention is that this would apply for brokerages, even though it's written that this would apply to everybody. Whether or not they actually enforce it for everybody, who knows?
There's a few things about surveillance in that bill, which is really interesting because essentially any transactions over, I believe, $600 are going to be reported to the IRS. So technically, the IRS could get their hands on any bank account and they would know exactly how much money you have and what's being transferred, when, exactly how much. It's a really interesting approach. That's never happened before.
They want to do that with banks, too. They also want a clearer banking transaction history so that they would be able to see how much money is going into your bank account and out of your bank account for tax reporting purposes. And that would help help with audits. Because they want to spend, I think it's like $80 billion beefing up the IRS to basically audit more high income tax returns. And if they have the data to say, hey, we see that $10 million is going in your bank account, but you're only reporting $4 million, what's that discrepancy? Right now, they don't have that access unless banks send it to the IRS for like suspicious activity. So that's something that they wanted to do, but we'll see. That's something that they're pushing for. The only thing that I'm curious about is if it's going to report like Mint, because this is a big issue that I've had with Mint.com, is that if I transfer, let's say, 10 grand from one bank account to another bank account, in mint.com, it shows that I just made 10 grand on the other account and I spent 10 grand in the first bank account. So would the IRS see that if I'm moving it to and from bank back and forth, wait a second, he received 100 grand, he received 100 grand, he received 100 grand, even though it's the same money just being moved back and forth.
Yeah, same with crypto. If you transfer crypto, right, you transfer from one exchange to another, that could be considered a taxable event and that would really suck. So
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, is there a way you can unplug the headphones and just have it go through a speaker? Because I feel like that would be a better experience for you too. Because this
so
whole
apparently, like, according to Kevin, he says even hear everything we're saying twice.
Okay, it cut out for a second there. I don't know why that did that, but you're saying you can't unplug it and just have it go over a loudspeaker. Yeah.
Oh, nope, okay. Because then that this audio thing picks up everything
and it sends it back to you. Yeah.
Oh man. What a complicated process. Somebody needs to make a meme out of this. 2 millionaires use $19 headphones from Apple.
$19. Jeremy, I know this is not worth your time, but it's worth ours.
Dude, it's crazy. Like every second there's like a new tweet I'm seeing in front of me. Yeah. There's Fox News right here on TV. There's four screens right here. It's unreal. I don't understand how Kevin's brain is running at 300 miles an hour.
I wish we could turn this around for a second. He has 1, 2, 3 iPads, 4, 5, 6. No, 6 iPads. A computer. No, 7 iPads here. A computer. Three, and then four, three computers five, behind with a TV up here. It's
five
insane.
Monitors, and I want to say at least 10 TVs. 5 in the front, 5 in, at least 5 behind us.
Yeah. Whoa. And they light up every second with a new tweet. I asked him about this because I was in here earlier getting some work done. I was saying, this is really distracting because, like, I would say 7 times a minute, there's a new tweet that comes up. And he reads them. He reads them as he's working for, like, new updates so he could react to it or, like, get it out really quickly.
This makes so much sense how he's able to do videos faster than I feel like the news can get it out.
Yeah.
As soon as the tweet comes out, he just goes live.
Yeah, really.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Dude, yeah. Jeremy, why didn't you come out?
Dude, you know, I employ like half of America. So if I go out there, half of America's out of work and we're in a great recession, man. So I have to just stay in Vegas, like work constantly. But no, and plus I didn't want to get a cold. You guys are going to get a bad cold from just being in that office. I hear Graham sniffling every 10 seconds.
Oh, you know why? It's the reason why. Let me explain this. I wore this jacket for the first time in 2 years and it was sitting in the closet. And it's really dusty and I'm allergic to dust. And I put this on and immediately I started like tearing up. My nose got all like stuffed up. It feels like I constantly have to sneeze.
So I told him, I was like, why don't you wash it after 2 years? He's like, why would I want to do that?
I've worn it a few times. It's just sat in the closet. Like you don't need to wash it. It's just dusty, not dirty.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Cause I thought it was because of the cold in that office. Cause you guys said it's like 66 degrees or whatever in there. That's insane, man. That's middle of winter in Vegas. Oh my goodness. So now that Kevin's not here, what do you guys think? Is he going to win tonight or is he not going to win? What's going on here? Okay.
You first on it.
Man, I'll be that guy.
Jeremy, how about you go first? You propose the question.
So at first, I wasn't feeling very good about it, right? You know, like I was like, hey, I hope you win, man, but I'm not feeling very good. But then it was looking good for him for a while. And then I feel like the last month, all of a sudden, like, you know, they put a lot of resources behind Newsom. And from my understanding, Obama's even done ads, you know, to stop the recall and like some big players on that side. And that makes it me a little scared that, you know, maybe this isn't going to go his way just because I'm like, I saw how much resources they put away. And if you look at Kevin's odds, because they actually have odds, I don't know why that came up, but they have odds on, you know, like his probability of winning. Like over the past month, it's gone down, you know, substantially. And I don't think that's his fault at all. It's just they have a war chest of money over there and they have all the connections that you possibly need, you know, on that side. And I think that makes it tough. So hoping for the best tonight, but I don't know, man, it's tough.
Yeah.
I watch them. So every like few days I'll go and look at the polls. I'll take this up. I go and look at the polls and I see what's trending and what's not. It's unclear because right now Newsom has a huge advantage And it seems like in the polls, he's way ahead. And then you have Elder. And then you have Kevin. So I think, regardless of what happens, if Kevin is able to get a substantial amount of votes, regardless of if he wins or not, that's a big sign that, you know, someone is able to run and within 6 months, 7 months, make such a big impact. I think that's huge. And I think that gives him an even bigger edge if he was to run again.
Yeah, that's a great point. I do think win or lose, the net benefit that he has over that he's had over just doing this entire campaign is great for him. The amount of exposure that he's got, the amount of people that he's been able to employ that I think will stick with him even after this is over. And just like Graham said, if he runs again, I think his chances will be dramatically better in the future. So, but also to Kevin's point, in the last, 30 minutes or so, there's going to be a ton of people flooding in and voting. So we could see the tide turn for all we know. I'm not sure, but it'll be exciting. That's in 43 minutes now. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like you have to get 65% of the votes in. That extra 35%, I mean, if it's somewhat close, I don't know, that could swing things one way or another. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a W for Kevin no matter what. You know, I'm sure he's going to get an impressive number. So the interesting thing is, you know, if there was a recall, who would win? Would it be Kevin or would it be that Elder guy? That, I think that's another interesting thing. It's like, first off, would the recall happen and would it be Elder or would it be Kevin?
Did you say something? Did Jeremy disconnect?
Yeah. No, there you go.
It's,
sure, you
it's,
cut out for a second.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why it keeps cutting in and cutting out, but anywho.
You're filming from your garage.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, it's weird.
Maybe if you had a real office like this.
Yeah, I know. A real studio. I can't afford that air conditioning bill. Oh my gosh, man. Keep all those screens cold. But maybe I'll move in the house. But anyways, no, I was saying if there was a recall, it'd be interesting to see like who's going to get more vote, Kevin or the Elder guy.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Right now, Elder does seem to be in the lead. But again, a lot of people vote last minute.
That's true. We sound like CNN now. We just keep going.
No, but do you guys remember when Kevin first started running? I feel like almost all of us were a little bit more cynical or a little bit like weary of politics. We're like, I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to change anything about California. And then he's like, no, you guys are just jaded. You guys are just jaded. And I feel like by the end of this, like even now at this point, he's like, oh, gosh, you wouldn't believe the amount of crookedness in politics. Yeah. And I just feel like if anything, he's learned a ton through this. And I don't know if it's just us being cynical or negative about it all, but I feel like he's come a little bit more to our side and maybe it's more realistic of a point of view about politics.
Could be. I had to move inside, guys. Maybe the internet connection. I don't know what's going on. I never have issues.
Oh, we can't see you. Now you're backlit.
Oh, yeah. Wait, now we need big lights.
It's so awkward. It's made for a right ear.
I know.
Yeah, this is our sloppiest stream ever. Watch this be our most viewed stream ever. Could you imagine that? It's our worst one and everybody watches. So
that always happens.
Yeah. So anywho, Graham, what's going on? You making any moves out there in the market? Any buys?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, what did I buy this morning? I bought a little bit of Wynn. And what else did I buy? Wynn, the S&P 500, like I do every morning. Every single morning.
Wait, you buy it every day?
Yeah, I do.
How much do you daily average into it?
It's 2,000 to 3,500.
Every day?
Yeah.
Dude, I do it every week.
Really?
$2,000 a week, yeah.
I don't know. I like every day. It gives me something to do. Every morning I wake up. I know it's probably not the most efficient. I would be best off just dumping it all in. But I like going in there every day and feel like it's a part of my routine. I wake up. The first thing I do is I open my phone, check the market, and buy every single morning.
$2,000 to $3,000 every day. That's insane. That's a lot of money. I'll do $2,000 to $3,000 every week. No, I'll do $4,000 a week. My bad. Yeah. $4,000 a week, which I guess is $1,000 a day minus 3 days of the week. And I'll do another 1,000 or 2 a week in crypto. So I guess I'll do 4,000 to 6,000 a week.
Yeah. So here's what I bought. So I bought Wynn $90. And then I bought a little Walgreens at 48.
Oh, some WBA, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you mentioned this to me before, Jeremy, and it stuck with me. You treated Walgreens, maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit, as almost like your emergency fund or like your safety net, where, you know, it's going to fluctuate a little bit up or down. But given that it's a pretty stable stock, I felt comfortable just dumping a pretty good amount in there and just leaving it. So
yeah, that's how I feel about that. That's how I feel about WBA. It's kind of like a better version of a savings account, essentially, where it's like, you know, I believe the stock's going to appreciate over the coming years, but you get that 4% dividend yield, or it might be less than 4% now. They almost raise a dividend almost every year, and it's kind of like a little piggy bank savings account type stock. So,
wait, you guys would just always argue with me about dividends, and here you are praising them. What's going on here?
Make no,
your mind, you flip flopper.
Wait. I don't think that's accurate, Mr. Andre. What are we talking about here? Dividends?
That's true. I think that's Kevin. I think that's Kevin hating on dividends.
Yeah. I'm like, Graham and I don't think we would speak down about that. Kevin, maybe. Yeah. Kevin, last week, I remember hating on you.
I told Andre a while ago not to do dividends because it's tax inefficient for Andre, which I would agree with Walgreens to a certain degree. But I think for an emergency, like as a total portfolio, Walgreens isn't bad. But in my situation, I think for an emergency fund, it would make better sense.
No, I think saying dividends are just taxable and that's why you shouldn't invest in them alone is not a good reason to not invest in dividends. I think taxes is just one of the many facets about dividends that you know, to take into consideration. But for me, anyway, it's not Walgreens. For me, I treat Apple like my savings account. I love Apple. It's so stable, man. And it pays less of a dividend. So in that sense, it might be a little bit more tax efficient than WBA. And it's a little bit more of a growth stock too. Got more potential.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to talk about the new iPhone too tonight. But hey, real quick, you know, there's a lot of screens around you and whatnot, and I don't think Kevin's in there. Are his stock accounts by chance logged in on any of those? Can you see something?
Sell everything. Sell one giant taxable event.
Could you imagine we sell everything and put it all in Tattoo Chef? Like, could he sue me for that? Like, how's that work?
Hey, Kevin, we sold out of all of your option positions. Just like, we liquidated millions from you.
Do you go to April jail Fools. For that? Or how's that work? Like, they just sold everything and bought something else, man. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But anywho, did you guys see the iPhone 13 today?
No. I was busy coming over here.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't look. It didn't look that exciting. Like typical stuff. Little better camera. Little better chips. Little more battery life. Little better screen. Little better everything.
I was really disappointed by it, man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they should have released the MacBook Pro, the 16-inch version with the M1 chip, and they still haven't put that in there. And I'm still waiting to buy one. Because I don't want that 15-inch one. That's like I don't want the first iteration of that product, which is. For me, I edit my videos in Premiere Pro, but now that Premiere Pro is actually working with the M1 chip, I want that 16-inch version, and I was really upset that they didn't release that. That didn't make sense. But yeah.
Yeah.
The iPhone is pretty marginally better.
Yeah.
All right. So a better camera, that's always going to get people. Even if it's slightly better, people are always going to want, I may as well get that. I think for a lot of people that do work or video work from their phone, it makes sense. It captures 47% more light for better photos and videos. I could justify getting this for filming house tours. Even if it's slightly better for the viewer, fine. Better battery life. I've actually had issues now. I don't know if it's because this phone is about a year old, but now the battery doesn't last as long as it once did. It really seems to degrade quickly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, you know what? I feel the same way, Graham. I feel like the batteries are always like that where, you know, they just go down a lot. And then you know what else I noticed? I feel like once you get the phone, the camera works so good. And I feel like over time, the camera gets like worse. I'm like,
it gets blurrier.
You just have to wipe your lens, dude.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here, man? I think it's just getting worse over time. At first, it looks like DSLR quality, and after a while, it looks like a Nokia. Like, I'm like, what is going on?
And also, your eyes get used to it, and then new technology comes out, and you're like, wow, I didn't know this is going to be so good.
It's true. I you know, it's funny. Sometimes I'll watch, you know, like, or see like an old sports clip back from like 2010 or something like that. And I remember like at that time, it looked so amazing. And now I look at it and I'm like, holy smokes, that looks like it's from like 1985. The quality is awful. I'm like, what the heck?
Speaking of those first few videos you used to release on your YouTube channel with the GoPro, like 10 feet away, was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was like 10 feet away. You just had a GoPro 3 set up and you're like, hey guys, today I'm going to teach you what a savings account is.
Yeah, I love those videos.
I legit enjoyed those videos a lot.
Oh gosh. Yeah. The fisheye lens. Oh man. Those are the good old days. You could just get views for doing nothing. But anyway.
So I see they had the iPhone 13 mini and the iPhone 13, 6.1 inch display. Is that the same size as the Pro Max of the 12?
Should be. Yeah. The 6.1.
I think the Pro is like 6.5. Yeah, I think the Pro is 6.5 inches, I believe.
Yeah, by the way, to anybody wondering where Kevin is, I think he's just probably talking to the media outside. Because there's a ton of people out there with ginormous cameras. So he's just making sure.
Kevin, he needs to be in here. Yeah, so
I'm looking at the size on this to see if it's the same sizing.
Yeah, this is not as interesting as our usual. I want to see some TTCF drama up in here.
Yeah,
this is 6.7. So 6.7. The new iPhone 13 is slightly smaller than the 12.
Oh, that I didn't know. Did you guys ever know I started a tech YouTube channel back in the day?
You did?
Yeah, it was called Regular Guy Tech. I did like 5 or 10 videos on it.
I thought you were going to say, like, it was going to be called Tech Education. Dude.
Yeah.
Education.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was going to do it. And that's how Financial Education 2 actually started. It was called Regular Guy Tech. And I used to post tech videos, like, you know, just doing, like, Canon 80D slow motion tests and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, no, I don't feel like doing this anymore.
Can you explain why you have Financial Education 1, 2, and I believe 3 as well? Why are they sequential?
Yeah, good question, man. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense, you know. But no, so the second channel started out of Regular Guy Tech. And there was a time where, you know, if you posted multiple videos on a channel in a day, you saw a significant drop off in views. This was prior to, like, you know, the last couple of years where it was like the more content, the better, right, on one channel. And so that's why I started a second channel. Then the third channel started because I originally started that channel as a presidential polls channel. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys ever got to see that. No, I did presidential. No. So for this past election, I did presidential polls. And if you look at the oldest videos on Financial Education 3, it started out with doing presidential polls on Trump versus Biden, just as like an experiment. And then I ended up turning into like an entrepreneur and in personal finance. And now it's just a stock market channel. So
are you super into politics and you just follow it a lot? No. Or do you just want to be a statistical kind of a YouTube channel?
Yeah, it was just statistical. And I was just wanted to see like, if that sort of content could pick up a lot of views. It never did or anything like that. But it was interesting, like trying to predict and look at the different polls and whatnot. And what we were finding from the polls at that time was, you know, Biden was going to easily win. And, you know, obviously the rest is history. So, but anyways, that's how all those channels started, just out of fun projects. It wasn't.
Are you familiar with any of the political prediction models? I remember there was a really famous blog. I think it was something 21 or I forget what it was. It was a guy who was incredibly accurate at predicting election results based on exactly what you're talking about, some statistical models.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I was going through all those models back in the day and we would look at all, like, I used to have this website. I can't remember which one it was, but it had like all the different polls and from like all these different states and counties and whatnot. And it was all pointing toward a certain direction. But yeah, it's interesting stuff to kind of see. But every once in a while, you know, that stuff can be wrong. That's the interesting part. Because that, just like, you know, tonight, we never know what could happen with this whole thing, right? But Anywho, Andre, you starting a new channel soon? Or what's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm still, well, Corey's not my girlfriend, Corey. She's reading through all the email submissions we had of video editor positions because I'm starting to hire as well. So that'll be interesting. If you guys are watching and you're like, I'm a video editor, I want to work and do some awesome stuff, then I'm hiring. So I haven't really officially announced it yet, and I've just been looking out. And yeah, I definitely want to start a new channel, maybe a podcast channel, maybe something like a vlog channel like Graham has. Graham pretty much has a channel for everything.
Yeah, you got to start with do reactions first.
Yeah.
Do reactions in the podcast.
No, I think podcast makes more sense. I think podcast is a little bit more fun. Reaction stuff I've thought about too. Reactions are fun, but I'm not as critical. I think you're really good at being critical of things. And I'm more like, you know, if you want to do it that way, that's cool.
Like, I'm just, yeah, that seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me at all.
That's me.
As long as she's happy, that's okay.
That's how I am.
Overall, great video. Thank you so much for watching.
That would be all my videos.
Yeah. Graham, it's been at least, what, 2 months since you started a new channel? That's a little long for you, right?
Pretty much. I don't know what else I could start at this point.
Oh, I think it's, you could start a pet channel. You got pets.
You know what? Believe it or not, Macy thought about doing that. And I told her, honestly, I thought a TikTok of Bailey and Ramsey would be fantastic. But, you know, if she wants to do that, that's on her.
You know, not to get too far away from the subject. I was thinking about taxing the rich. Really, and I don't know about you guys. Have you thought about it this way where it's like, I feel like, we fundamentally disagree in this country what it means to be rich. Like, the government defines being rich as making $400,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But as far as on the grand scale of what it means to have wealth, where you should consider like social implications of helping society, it is massively like an ocean apart from what the government defines as being rich. Because if you're making $400,000 a year, right? And the government's like, well, we're going to take 50% of what you earn. A person who's earning 400K, for them, 200K less is a pretty substantial difference, like enough to make them feel bitter about it and complain on Twitter how the government's just taking all my money, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a multi-billion dollar corporation with offshore assets and you're funneling money and you're whatever, you're taking resources from the earth, or you're and a lot of people reference people like, you know, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg, rightfully or wrongfully so. Their net worths and their fortunes are so vastly different than that $400,000. Like just for perspective, Graham's net worth, I mean, last time he did a video, I think he said $10 million, right? It's probably more than that now, but right. Well, let's just say it's $10 million, right? The difference between Graham with $10 million and a person who has nothing, who has $0, right? If you took those two people are closer to each other than Graham would be to a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
To a dude with 1 billion. Like, on the scale of a ratio.
With 100 million.
Yeah.
100 million is closer to zero
than
it is to a billion.
Okay, but like on a ratio scale, if Graham's net worth is 10 million, that would be $1. $0, and the dude with a billion is $1,000. So the dude with the zero and the one are arguing. That's kind of what this country seems like to me. And the dude with $1,000 is like, so I guess I'm just going to own the world now, right?
Hold on. We're going to bring Kevin in on this discussion. Let's scoot over.
Snap.
We're going to bring Kevin in.
The fade.
There we go.
Hey, what's up?
I like that. There we go. This one.
Perfect. I should have like numbers on the cameras. Camera one, camera two.
But no, I agree with you, Andre. What people don't realize, you know, 400 grand, it's a lot of money, but that's not even the 1%. That's like the 1.8%. You get the 1%, that's anywhere between $550,000 and $700,000. But where you start getting crazy is where you get the 0.1%. I believe that starts about $7.5 million. And then the 0.0, what is it, 0.001 or like 0.01%, then that's like $30, $40 million. And you go even crazier from there. So, I mean, there are definitely levels to wealth.
So Kevin, to fill you in, we were just talking about the discourse in this country, and I brought up the point that I think fundamentally the idea we have of what wealth means versus what the government defines as being rich, which is $400,000 a year, is vastly different than the wealth we think when we think of the Zuckerbergs and the Elon Musks. And I feel like the difference between someone with, say, $10 million of a net worth and $0 those two people are closer to each other in net worths than somebody who's a billionaire and a $10 million net worth.
Hold on, hold on, hold your horsies. Hold your horsies, okay? Kevin, we got bad. You got bad internet over there. Maybe too many people are on, man. They were had me trying to think it was me earlier. No, you're completely blurry, and everybody's complaining about it being blurry. And you guys keep fading in, fading out.
Okay. What happened?
Is that better?
There you go, Kevin.
And we got solutions.
There we go.
Okay, so thank you for that. Yeah, look, I actually agree with you. I mean, we should be incentivizing people to build wealth. And I came in right as y'all were talking about what the definition essentially of the 1% is, and like $400,000 of net worth, you were saying.
I'm making a year.
Oh, annual income. Okay.
Which is a lot, but it's not like the 0.001% that people are demonizing.
That's true. I think what it is, though, is the whole 99% versus 1% thing, no matter where the definitions are, it's a frustration with how difficult it is for most people to build wealth. And I think that comes because nobody teaches financial education in schools. So if we, like all the stuff we talk about on YouTube, if that were taught starting in sixth grade, and between sixth grade and 12th grade, you learned all the stuff that we talk about crypto, credit cards, investing, dollar cost averaging, buy the whatever. By the time people be 18, be like, okay, I get it. I got to focus on building wealth. I'm not going to go YOLO on a credit card to take a vacation to Hawaii and then
buy a Tesla.
And buy a Tesla, right? So that's, that I think is the big fundamental problem is people feel like they're trapped and they can't build wealth when the truth is everybody can build wealth. It's just those principles.
Why do you think we've shifted so much towards, because it almost feels like the rich are almost like they're made out to be the bad guys. Like they're the ones who are really responsible for a lot of things. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's definitely, in my opinion, it's a political issue more than it's individuals. Like, I personally don't think Jeff Bezos wakes up in the morning going, I'm gonna squash these workers today. You know, they're paying people like $18 an hour to work. Now, look, I'm not gonna be here to comment on like the conditions, worker conditions, or whatever. Right? That's for each company to fix. And if people don't like their worker conditions, go to a different company. Right? That's where the free market comes in. But yeah, I don't think Jeff Bezos wakes up going, how can I take advantage of the labor force, the human capital here? Right? I believe that it is politicians who are at fault for not making sure that we're all elevated more when we're 18 years old. Why is it that when you're 18, the only job you can get is either you try to go self-employment, which most people go bankrupt in self-employment, or you work minimum wage? How are you supposed to build wealth on minimum wage in this country? It's not going to happen. You got to figure out how can you elevate your skill set, get a license, provide value somehow, and then you can start building your wealth. But we don't learn that crap in schools. So no, I don't think that and I'm not saying this because, you know, oh, that's like we're considered 1% or whatever. I'm saying this because the reality is demonizing the 1% ain't going to make it better for the 99%.
Right.
That's not going to solve the problem.
So you gave a solution, but why are we demonizing the wealthy so much? Do you think it's a result of playing politics, of people like AOC that just say things that are very popular to say? And it's like, well, of course, yeah, the rich should pay their fair share, not knowing the fact that the rich actually pay more than their fair share. They pay most of it.
It seems like almost that it's made out to be this thing where if you have a dollar, you're taking a dollar from somebody else.
Right.
That your gain is at the expense of somebody else.
Yes.
That's where I think it really begins. When you see someone with so much money, you're thinking, what did that person have to take from somebody else who doesn't have that? And is that greedy at that point?
That's a great point.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's a zero-sum game, but the reality is it's not. I mean, you just look at the velocity of money. You know, I spend a dollar, that turns into $6 of money for other people. The same dollar can touch multiple different businesses and make different businesses revenue. And that's what's so incredible. The game's easy. Like, look, AOC right now. They just had her right here on Fox or whatever. AOC chose narcissism over whatever. The thing is, politically, it's very popular to say tax the rich, the 1%. They're taking advantage of everyone. I'm going to go in there and fight. And it's very, in my opinion, it's almost the easy option to go into politics and go, $2,000 a month for everyone forever. Forgive all student debt. Never evict anyone. Those are easy, populist things to say. But let's be real. It ain't going to work. it's never going to happen. Those sorts of policies are not going to happen. And so we've got to think about something everybody can agree on in America, which who doesn't agree that we need financial education in schools? Right. Why don't we focus on that first, right? Where we can actually really start empowering people. I was just on an interview in San Diego and they're like, Kevin, I mean, you're basically saying the old adage, teach a man to fish. What is it? Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a life.
Yeah, that's a great point. So you're saying it starts at education. So that way people don't oversimplify these issues to where it's like, of course, let's give everybody money. It's like, no, you have to understand how this stuff works first, which is not taught.
Bingo. I mean, get this. In California, you spend $240,000 for 2 years to have somebody in jail or prison. They get out of prison. What are they supposed to do? Who's going to hire somebody who just got out of prison? What skill did they learn while they were in prison? Probably nothing. So what do they come out? They can't get a job. They don't have any money. They don't have any skills. 70% of them ended up back in prison in 3 years. So how about teaching people skills? Right. You know, financial education, career training. You know, we should be graduating at 18 as electricians and plumbers and people with skills. Because look, let's say by 18, one of you, let's say Andre, by 18, you graduated high school and you graduated as a licensed journeyman electrician, let's say. You could go install ceiling fans and outlets or whatever. Even if you didn't want to be an electrician, you wanted to go, you know, do your magic career or whatever, you would always be able to fall back on doing electrical work for people.
Right.
If you didn't have that license, you'd have nothing to fall back on other than minimum wage, the bare minimum social safety net. You're not going to get ahead with that.
Right. What do you think of the infrastructure bill and what they're talking about? Right? Do you think it's going to get passed as it is, or
it's going to get passed.
$3.5 trillion?
Probably. Yeah, really? I think so. Yeah, really? I think they're going to going to get Joe Manchin's playing hard to get right now. I think he's going to fold. These politicians are babies. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. Look, Bernie Sanders with the $600 stimulus check. Remember when Trump is like, it needs to be $2,000, right? Yes. The December to disaster, right? Bernie Sanders like, hey, we got to have $2,000 a month. It was the one time Bernie Sanders was like, even Trump agrees with us. Right. You know? It was crazy. Yeah. And so Bernie Sanders was like, I will not vote for this unless it's $2,000. And he puts up a stink. Vote comes up. He votes for $600. Right. It's like the same thing's going to happen with Sinema. The same thing's going to happen with Manchin. These moderates, they're going to get bought out somehow. Hey, Manchin, we'll put a new park in your district. We'll label it the Manchin Park. Shut the F up and vote for this bill. And he'll vote for it. You think Nancy Pelosi's not going to be able to take control of Manchin?
This is so funny because when you started running, I feel like we were this negative. And we were like, Kevin, you're just naive. And you were like, no, you guys are just jaded.
I will say it's jading to get to see the nonsense that goes on. But yeah. That's how I feel now.
Did you see the crypto distinction with who's a broker and who's not based on their definition of anybody who's transmitting money? So that includes like nodes and miners.
The miners and that disaster.
Yeah.
There was a Senate amendment. They were trying to fix that, but the amendment didn't get passed.
It didn't.
It's even if this bill passes the way it is, compliance is going to be such a nightmare. They'll end up just probably making temporary exemptions until they fix it in a different bill once they realize it's a big problem because it's not possible what they're trying to do.
Right.
They'll figure that out. Like, look, these bills pass and they end up having they're littered with bullet holes, basically. It's like you picture like a target that somebody shot at, you know, 20 rounds at, 50 rounds at or whatever. That's how these bills are. There's so many holes and problems and issues.
Do they fix them as they go or as these problems arise? Because wouldn't that kind of stifle innovation if they're like
squeaky wheel, man? And that's the problem with politics. It's how squeaky is that wheel? So I got to run to a Spectrum interview. We are also 15 minutes away from polls. So you guys probably want to wrap up in like 10 minutes or so.
Or do we just keep it going and have a pizza party?
well, we're going to do that in there. I might, maybe we go live and we can invite Jeremy or something like that on the channel. We could do that because then I could just be mobile on the iPhone.
Yeah.
We might transition over to that.
Why not?
Let's see. Because I might, there'll be some interviews that I'll have to do as well. But I run this. If you guys need to end, just take this little mouse right here and, you know, I'll put it on the screen right here. So see, it's right here.
So confusing. I see.
It's right there. So all you have to do is click. So don't move the mouse. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Now we're going to go back to this camera. Look at that. There we go.
All right.
I love this setup.
The professionals. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, Andre, right. I mean, you were talking about the whole tax a rich. I'll wait for him to get a headphone. So, yeah, Andre, you're talking about the whole tax a rich situation. I think a lot of that, you know, to come back to that point, was You know, imagine if you know no one that's rich, right? You've never had anybody around.
Not to that degree, right? Like, I know rich people. And I mean, I think Graham is rich. I think you're rich. I think Kevin's rich. No. But
yeah, no, my point is, like when does it ever, like, you know, become like a hatred situation where you dislike a group, right? Whether it's like being racist or sexist or, you know, whatever, you're against somebody, right? And so some folks with the mentality that they hate the rich or, like, you know, eat the rich, there's that whole thing, right? I think a lot of times if you're not around that and you hear something bad, like, oh, that rich guy, he avoided all those taxes or he did this or did that, automatically your view is you don't know anybody that is like that, and you hear a bad thing, then you're starting to stereotype and say all these people over here are bad. And that's what some people do, and I think that's what leads to hatred many
right.
times.
And not only that, but we also say that the rich don't pay their fair share, and what we're actually referring to when people say that is not the federal income taxes, but it's the capital gains taxes. And that's what people conflate, and they confuse the two, and they think, well, these people don't pay their taxes because most of their income is derived from the selling of stocks, not from their company. And I think that's partially where that stigma comes from, is just like, oh, they don't pay their fair share. They do. They just get their income from a different source.
If you guys could see, let's say you had two scenarios, you could see either income taxes be lowered on everybody or capital gains tax be lowered on everybody, which one do you think would be better?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would need more like statistical data.
That's a really good thing. It got me thinking, because on the one hand, I'm like, okay, well, if capital gains taxes were lowered, would that incentivize more people to invest? Because now they get to keep more of their money, and that's after tax too. So, but on the other hand, then again, we spend more time working. So I think while you're building up capital, it's probably better to have more money left over now to invest. I mean, you know what? It's almost like the same argument. Like, what's better, a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA? Which one? Would you rather pay tax later or pay the tax up?
That's be lower, because I think that's what gets the snowball rolling, I guess. In essence, does that make sense? That's what helps people initially to start that curve. But if you don't have money and if you're not making much money, then it doesn't do you very much good to have a lower tax rate on your stocks.
Here's the other thing too. If you have more money left over after tax, then chances are you would spend more money, which could benefit stocks. So even though you pay a higher capital gains tax, those stock prices might end up going up to almost balance that out.
Yeah, I could see that happening too.
Yeah, man, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, what is it going to take to get like everybody into investing? You know what I mean? Like, let's not even say around the world, but just in the United States, like, what would it take to really get everybody involved? Because what I've seen over time is like how simple it's become, you know, to get started in investing. Like, for instance, the stock market, right? When I first started 2008, 2009, it was like $19.95 per trade you made every time you bought or sold a stock. That was a huge barrier to entry, right? Second barrier to entry was around research. So at that time, there was starting to be some stuff like put out on the internet for like financial reports. But a lot, I don't know if you guys know, but back in the day, I used to have companies mail me in the mail an annual report or a 10Q. And I used to have bookshelves of just companies' annual reports and 10Qs back in the day, which is kind of crazy, right? And that's a huge barrier to entry. And like, I don't want to give the Hungry Bull a shout out, but we just had a new option, which is SEC reports, where literally you can read a 10Q or 10K right inside the app. And you take it back to the back in the day when I started, you had to get it in the mail, like, and some companies wouldn't ship them, and it's just a drama, right? And you think about Robinhood and all the stock brokerages now, it's free to literally buy a stock. That's amazing, right? And it seems like we just keep going in this direction where things are getting easier and easier. And I'm just hoping we get to a day when everybody cares about investing in some way
fashion. Well, here's the thing. I think Kevin was 100% right that it starts with education. And as you go further down the trough or further down the line, the net benefit is kind of decreased. It becomes less and less felt, right? So if you start off with a good education system, and if you start off with knowing how money works and getting a high valued career and making an income and saving it and investing it, over time, the benefit goes lower and lower the farther out you go. And so the emphasis should be in the beginning and as early the stages as possible, which starts with education. So that's why I think as far as federal taxes go, it's better to do income taxes rather than capital gains. But if anything, put that money in education. That's where it'll have the biggest effect in getting people motivated to invest in the market.
Let's say in the school system, let's say it really became like a financial education type thing where they're trying to educate along the way. When does that start? Do you start in elementary school? Do you wait till middle school? Do you wait till high school? What's kind of your guys' perspective on that?
Oh, that's a middle great school. Question.
I think middle school. You're 12. Yeah, you're 12 years old, 13, 14. You're old enough to learn about money. You know, whenever you start getting an allowance, that's really, I think, the age you start.
I like Warren Buffett's approach. If I have kids, or once I have kids, what I think I would do is I would put a slot machine inside. I think we talked about this before, but I loved his approach. It's like putting a slot machine in the house and then give them an allowance. That way they understand what it's like to make money and then let them gamble it away. And then with that same money they gambled away, pay them next week. And that way they understand the value of hard work and money. And I think the only way that human beings care about investing in money is when it directly affects them and their interest. And all of our interests are subjective. And I know, like, growing up, Graham and I like loved Pokemon cards and all these. We loved collecting, right? But everybody has their thing that they enjoy, that they like to spend money on, whether it's food or cameras or Pokemon cards or whatever it is. And as long as you relate it back, it almost doesn't matter what age you start at, as long as you can relate that concept back to their innermost desire. Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think that just goes back to like money in general and like why should you care about like building wealth or having money or things like that. And, you know, yeah, 100%, guys. You know, I hope we get to that day someday, you know, when everybody's like pretty, literate when it comes to these things. You don't have to be, know an income statement in a balance sheet inside and out. But if you could just know a little bit, like, buying an S&P 500 index fund. And I hope we, help out with that a little bit on YouTube. But, obviously there's just so many people we don't reach, right? Like a lot of views for one of our videos is like, what, 500,000 views or whatever. You know, that's like a really successful video, but that's around the world. And when you take into account like how few people actually see that, in our own country, it's progress, but it's like a small bit of progress. It seems like it really needs to come from the school system if we're really going to get it out in mass and around the country.
Well, Jeremy, do you notice anything from your kids that your kids enjoy a lot? And you're like, ooh, I noticed that Enzo loves this thing. He loves the Pokemon or whatever it might be. I bet you can get him really interested in money. Even if not now, you plant that seed that you're like, ooh, if you want more of this thing that you really love, here's what you got to do.
Oh yeah, that kid, he's too into money, in my opinion. You know, he's got a
he's so really smart. Yeah. I talk with him about money, believe it or not, and he's into it.
Hey Enzo, what should I make my video about this week?
No, it was funny. I was he was telling me he was saving up to buy a Pokemon card. And he's like, I have like $200 in cash. And I was joking with him and I said, well, why don't you play some blackjack with me and we could double that? And he's like, but no, but then I could lose my money and I would have to save up even longer to get the card I want to buy.
That's awesome.
I was like, geez. Yeah. Can't argue with that.
I know.
Very smart.
Yeah, kid is practical. But yeah, he's super into that. He's already buying stocks and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's fun. But man, at that age, I'm like, man, maybe it's too early to get him started. But hey, maybe that's the way, get him started early.
I would do it. This is the way.
I think let's talk about this really quick. What are your thoughts for the rest of the week on the market with everything going on with China, with inflation coming in, as expected? What are your thoughts?
Oh man, my thoughts are September is generally kind of can be a little bit of a rough month, and I mean, I'm not the guy to make short-term stock price predictions, but I think Chinese stocks are going to continue to have a tough time. There's it feels like day by day there's more distrust with what's going on in China and some of the moves coming out of China. And although valuations can look pretty compelling in a lot of these stocks, and I made a whole video about Alibaba, which the fundamentals of Alibaba, and if you look at the the valuation of Alibaba, so compelling, it's like it seems like easy money. But then all of a sudden China, we can't say China stepped in, but all of a sudden Alibaba gives a third of their cash on the balance sheet to help Chinese funds. That would be like, it's equivalent of like Apple saying we're given $70 billion just to USA type things or programs. That like, it makes no sense. So I think Chinese stocks are a little scary. I think stocks that do business in China are going to continue to be scary, not just now but for the, you know, foreseeable future. And outside of that, there's not a lot going on. We don't have earnings right now. Earnings season will start up again in about a month. So, you know, company earnings, is none of those coming out. And I don't know, we're going to kind of be in a little bit of a boring time for the next month in the stock market until earnings season gets back going again. And I think we still got to watch big tech. Big tech's scary. I'm a little scared for big tech, I'll be honest. The valuations are pushed. You know, what if this iPhone doesn't do big numbers? You know, man, what's that mean for Apple stock?
Here's the thing. I feel like they've said that about the iPhone every year. They've been like, oh, the 7 is basically just the 6. The 8 is basically the 7. But every year, it's like people are lining up to buy iPhones. Last year, we said, like, there's no way people are going to be going crazy over the iPhone. And then after the stimulus check came out, people were buying iPhones. So it could. I always think Apple always surprises me. And most likely, I'm going to get the iPhone for the better camera because I use it so much for the business.
And then out of nowhere, you're going to see Apple be like, boom, Apple car.
that's what I think is going to happen.
I think so too.
Yeah. I would not be. They would be stupid not to pursue a car at some point. And oh my God, imagine your phone connects to your car, connects to your computer.
Hey, Siri, like, yeah. Pull out of the garage. That'd be awesome.
That's where I think we're going. And with the Apple credit card, you could charge it to the credit card. I mean, it's just like, they could create a whole Apple ecosystem where everything you do is within their ecosystem. And then they come out with an Apple home.
Apple house. I was just going to say, yeah, geez.
Seriously, they could expand. They could continue going, and they'll compete with Amazon for houses. Imagine Amazon starts building houses.
Woo. Hey, do you got the Apple House Max?
The Pro Max house? Yeah, the 3-story.
Could you imagine that? There's a big Apple logo right on your house.
Oh.
There's a big logo right on your house.
Kevin's back.
Oh. Kevin's back for us.
Well,
there you go.
Oh,
I don't want to be the spoiler, but we got to go.
Yeah.
Election time.
Let's wrap it up, Graham.
So thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to subscribe. Check out the Hungry Bowl, Jeremy. Got to check that out down below in the description, as with Bankroll Coffee. It's not down below in the description.
neither is my coupon code, which is somewhere. It's expiring soon.
17% off. Expires tonight for everyone who missed it out. Audrey, whatever plug you want.
I've got nothing to sell you guys.
How about the Clips channel? How about the Clips channel down below in the description?
Sure, go check that out.
Just subscribe, guys.
What's
That's
your BlockFi link?
BlockFi.com.
We did it, guys. All right, Thank you so much for watching, and until next time, subscribe and hit the like button.
Oh, I got to do it. Here we go. We're doing it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.